We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ears. Andy Liu and I are recording this after the Niners-Broncos game. Both of us in our Jimmy G jerseys wondering.
This is a podcast about a world championship team.
Relax. This is the great thing about, first of all, number one great thing is doing a podcast with you. And you should all be ready with getting ready to hear a special announcement from us in the next few days here. The second part is we get to do it on the Golden State Warriors. And even though I'm a fan of the San Francisco 49ers and a fan of the San Francisco Giants, I spend 99% of my time on this podcast talking about the Warriors. And right now, Samuel, the Warriors are as happy as I have ever seen this team. So, man, this podcast makes me feel alive. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm hungover, I'm depressed at 9 p.m. on a Sunday night, you know, before work tomorrow. But now I'm happy because we're going to get to talk about Steph and Moses Moody and Dante DiVincenzo and Draymond and whoever else.
Mac McClung. I want to make one call out before we go to it. So we are going to be launching iteration 2 of Premium, which really is just us moving the site and a couple other things soon. But for the goons who want to chime in, we're going to give a free trial of Lightyear's Discord. Public. Anyone can join. You won't get to see all the channels. You're not going to get to see the coolest stuff, but you can tip your toes in the waters, see what goes on back there, see some of the memes, see some of the fun stuff. I'll tweet it out with this episode. So I just want to throw this out there. But with that said, let's get to it. So media day, Andy, the Warriors are back. They will be taking off for Japan Monday afternoon, evening-ish time, something like that. And you know what stood out to me? Day one and day two of media day was this is probably the most confident and in control Warriors team I've seen in the Steve Kerr era. They've won 4 titles. They've been dominant for most of that period, but it feels different to me.
It does. And I think Steph said something where he actually said it before the championship was won. He said, "Hey, I'm a made man, right? For me nowadays, it's really not about anything I can do to change things. It's about what I can do to make it better," something along those lines. And I always thought that was interesting that he said that. I don't know if I agreed with it. It certainly felt like Steph didn't agree with it himself because he said himself after the 4th title how good it felt. And that was quote unquote maybe the best one. It really does feel that way though now. Now that you go into this season, it feels like similarly to that 73 win regular season team where they came in, they were a little bit angry, but you felt that they were as confident as they could ever be. And I think that's how this Warriors team right now, the thing I find is insane is that was 6, 7 years ago. And now you look at where the Warriors are and they're kind of almost back in the same position where I don't think you and I are sitting across from each other and saying, well, Draymond might be washed or Klay might be washed. The question is more along the lines of like, can those guys stay healthy? Which is the question every year for everyone, right? So it's just more along, we're not actually worried about anything. I don't think those guys are worried about anything. They're as good as they've ever been, I think.
I think what's interesting to me is, and this is a personal impression, so take it the way you want. I think they've always been confident in their ability, but in 2016, they had a level of kind of like, fuck you, like F you, mm-hmm. we're better than you. This team feels so, it feels like how I associate like 2014 Spurs with Tim Duncan, where they don't even care to prove it to you. They are, they're so comfortable with who they are that they're more focused on making sure they do their thing right than anyone's outward world perception. I felt like in 2016, they cared that people thought they were fluky or not that good. This team, it seems to me, based off the quotes I heard from Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, nothing anyone says bothers them. They're so focused on winning number five. And like in their minds, they're like, we're not even playing against the NBA. We're playing against history. We want to, we don't give, like to me, when you hear them speak, they give the energy of, we don't give a fuck what like, you know, Colin Cowherd or Nick Wright or any of those guys say. We're trying to chase like Jordan 6 or, you know, like the Celtics 11 or like that sort of energy where it's just, it's so self-realized.
They also, I think, now realize that they are the premier dynasty in the last X, I don't even know how many years. There is no other, since Jordan, you could say, right? There's just no other team, player, I think anybody in the NBA that even holds a candle to what the Warriors are right now and where the Warriors want to be. I think to what you're saying about winning that fifth title, the closest is LeBron. He has four, but I think that's such a different situation where he's on his 18th team. I mean, that the team's just a mess too, and he's kind of in an age where I don't think it's a serious contender. So that's the closest that anybody has to the, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Bron's like that elite sales guy who takes a new startup gig every 9 months. And it's like, we all recognize he can sell, but it's like, you know, like, when are you going to IPO, bro? That's the corniest analogy.
That's pretty good. I don't think it falls out of favor, though, to your point. It gets old. It gets old when you've done it four times already, right? This is not a LeBron podcast, but I think the point is, I think the Warrior stuff still resonates with people. People still say, holy shit, if the Warriors are going to make another title run in this thing, I think that stuff resonates a lot more. We saw it with that fourth title with Steph, Draymond, and Klay. It was such a cool story. It was almost like a Disney storyline, really, is what it was. And so I think they know that they're can you say that they've got house money? You know what I mean? Can you say that?
Yeah,
they've got nothing to lose a little bit. Sort of feels that way.
For they're made, but like right now they are competing for, are people going to say the Warriors are better than the Showtime Lakers? Are people going to say the Warriors are better than Jordan's Bulls? Like they're competing. Like I said, they're not competing with anyone in the NBA right now. They're competing with history at this point, and they know it. They know it internally. You can hear them speak about it. They're like, this is small time. Like I'm trying to, you know, like Steph, Klay, and Draymond know if they win five, if they win six, not two, not three. You know, like if they can actually do that, like they've cemented themselves in a conversation that really only like, I don't know, like three teams, four teams in history have ever done.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on top of that, they're also the best team in the NBA. I think quite easily right now.
I mean,
they are the best team in the NBA.
We'll get into that. I think one thing I've been spending some time looking at some of the other teams and reading up on stuff and
talking to your sources.
They have a very realistic chance at running it back. But what I wanted to get into is tying into my confidence thing. Mm. Draymond had a very interesting quote today. He had a couple, of course. But we'll start with the first one, which I think is positive. The second one, take the way you want. Draymond says the players, coaches, and trainers have reached a place of total trust together. Regarding restrictions, minutes, they don't get much argument back from us because that trust has been built. And that's kind of the vibe I've got from them. Like, look, we know, like, push comes to shove, there's a certain level of trust between Steph and Draymond and Clay and, like, Kerr and Bob Myers and, like, you know, like, the guys who've been here the whole time, right? But what's interesting to me is they've gone beyond that. Now it's just like there's no second guessing. It's like, oh, Bob says that. That's cool. You know, it's like it seems like they've reached another level where I'm it just feels different to me. It feels like they're it feels like the players and the management are like intertwined with me.
Yeah. Yeah. They've reached Nirvana. Also, they've reached peak San Antonio Spurs. Is to me what that reads.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, it's what it reads, right? Popovich, Timmy, Buford. Although we guess you never really hear about him, but you know, like, right, just everyone is on the same page. Sit this game. Sit, like, right. There's gonna be no Draymond. And I think part of that is old age. I think really what this is part of that is old age. It's Draymond sitting back and realizing part of it's
them winning last year, proving that, like, we've been to the top, we've been to the bottom, we got back to the top. Like, it is what it is. This is the best we're ever going to get.
I mean, when you talk about relationships, I got a corny analogy for you. I mean, you talk about relationships. I mean, this is the best part of a relationship for them and why they're so trusting of each other and why we don't see this for LeBron teams and KD teams, because they switch every time, is that they've had the same wife for like 10 years. You know what I mean? When you've had a girlfriend forever, you go through the bad stuff. You move into the other, you go through the bad stuff. Then you figure that out together. And then you make it back out and you're happy. And then you go through the best. And then when you go through all of that together and you make it out, you trust each other more versus some of these other teams. I think you see in the NBA where they'll just move on to the next girl, right? Or the next. And part of that is you're always
going Brana, huh?
definitely. So I mean, that's part of it. And that's the other thing about the Warriors that's so different from everyone else. I mean, we saw this with with Utah. They were together for a while and then they kind of fell apart. Right now, Utah's
right.
Done.
Like, it looked like it was a very stable situation for a period of time. We're sitting here, we're like, oh, yeah, like, let's see what happens with them. Yeah.
It's so quick. I mean, Boston is one that you think is going to stay together for a long time, but who knows now? I have no idea what's going on over there. I think Denver is one that you think is going to be stay together for a while. I think that's a good bet. But
or even like Milwaukee, you're like,
that's
one. There's stability, but yeah, you're right. You never know how long until it's like, you know, it's time for the divorce, right?
I'm surprised it's coming from Draymond, because I do feel like Draymond's the one guy where I feel like this wouldn't really work for. I feel like the trust and all that stuff may be the toughest one. I feel like Stephen Clay, Andre, it makes sense. I feel like Draymond's the guy. It's like, hey, trade me, right? I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think he would be the guy that would do that. So I find it very interesting that he said that quote. And maybe that's a good thing for his extension. Maybe that means it's good things coming. I don't know.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of extensions, it's not a good thing. Draymond of all people. So I feel like it deserves to be called out. Every one of the players who are up for extensions got asked about it. Poole and Wiggins, you know, they kind of did the non-answer. They're like, oh, my agent will work it out.
Okay.
Draymond, on the other hand, I have some thoughts on this one. I'm pulling up the exact wording.
You guys have several people entering contract seasons, yourself included. I guess number one, I mean, would you like to get something done before the season extension wise? And two, how does going into a contract season like potentially weigh on a player?
I mean, at this point, whether I'd like to or not, I don't think it will happen. And so for me, I'm just focused on this season and being as great as I can be and as I know I'm capable of being and winning another championship and reaching my individual goals that I have as well. You know, I think that's my main focus. Contract situations, contract years, that is a part of this league. I think it weighs on everyone differently. I think the way a contract situation would weigh on me is totally different than the way it would weigh on a Jordan Poole who's never signed a big contract, you know? And so I think all of that matters as well. You know, when you're in different positions of your career and you know, like, all right, you have security or you don't. And, you know, I think all of those different things plays a part into how one may react to being in a contract year. And so to each his own. And, you know, some people are motivated by contract years. Some people are nervous and struggle during contract years. I think it's all based on the player. For me personally, I think for me, any time in a contract year is motivation, you know, and that's kind of how I approach it. That's how I view it. And it's always been the way I viewed it, you know, and I've historically been the guy to bet on myself, even when, you know, others didn't believe. I've always felt confident betting on myself, and nothing changes for me now.
Yes, your thoughts?
Some gamesmanship, perhaps? Some gamesmanship there? My first thought on that is Draymond's just negotiating through the media.
Sure.
I think he's doing that thing where he's like, I don't think it's going to happen, and I'm just going to do things my way a little bit. But I don't know. I thought it was interesting it went that way.
I feel like this was always going to happen. I just didn't know what was he going to say, right? I find it interesting again. I find it interesting that he said what they just said about the trust being built together. And then on another breath comes and talks about the extension that way. But Draymond's also someone that's not going to give non-answers. So I feel like he's always going to be a little bit more honest.
He's not going to be like, my agent's going to handle that.
And that's what we love about Draymond, right? It's just he's always going to say something. So I don't think it means anything though. I think you'd probably agree. I don't think it means they're not going to get some done or they are going to get some done.
It's worth noting Kerr was saying he and Steph dominated the first scrimmage on Saturday, the first one.
Unshockingly.
And Sam's sources say that carried through on Sunday. And, you know, Draymond was just peak controlling the floor of the game without scoring a basket, Draymond.
Of course he was.
I feel like he's trying to negotiate a little bit through the media here. I think he's trying to be like, Bob, you know, just watch practice. Watch who the man is.
Which tells me when that comes out, If that was true, it tells me that Draymond's not getting the money that he wants, which is not surprising. But it also tells you that
it's September. He's got
no way he's getting that offer then. But I think you're
you, me and Bob are peak sales guys. You know, he's got 3 weeks till best and final.
Bob. He is. I think if you're the Warriors, you probably want to lock him up as soon as you can. So, I mean, same with all three of those guys, right? But to me, yeah. I feel like to other teams, Draymond might not be that valuable, but to the Warriors uniquely, he is as much of a max player as anyone in the NBA. That guy is their entire defense. I know we're going to get to some loony quotes and some other quotes here, but he is their entire defense. And you just can't, this guy can't, I know some people are saying Draymond might be the guy that's most likely to not be on this team a year from now, right? Of that trio.
No Draymond there, a second round out.
I can't see it. I can't see Draymond not being on this team next year. So I whatever happens, I think he will be on this team. Extension.
And without knowing the numbers, it does feel like some showmanship in both ways. I think Draymond's probably going to be the guy who has the hardest time finding like the offer he wants on another team. So it leads to a little bit of internal stuff, but like all that stuff, like my overall feel from watching Media Day and like just reading between the lines, there's like positive. Like I'll wait until the end of camp before I get an impression that it's negative. I think Draymond's just doing that thing where he's like reminding everyone how valuable he is. And he is that valuable. He really is one of the more uniquely impactful players.
By the way, I also think it's a good thing that he's not playing real basketball games during the offseason. I know he came into last season in peak shape, mm-hmm. and he came out like gangbusters and was defensive player of the year type. I think he got injured because he was playing over the offseason overseas. You can't, when you play the way that Draymond does and his age and the propensity of his body to break down, you just can't play that many basketball games. So I think it's a good thing that he's coming into this camp just getting ready for this camp and getting ready for the season instead of playing. I forgot what the hell they were playing, Sam, last year.
FIBA.
FIBA. Yeah, like that. I don't think that's ever a good thing. And he ended up getting hurt and didn't play half the season because of that. So, again, all this confidence and this optimism for this season and this team being extremely healthy, it leads back to all that. Like Draymond is probably going to be as healthy as he is, and Clay and et cetera.
Yeah. One of the more interesting things of the first couple of days of media being back was getting to see a little Looney versus Wiseman one-on-one. Unfair. Big man coach Deki running the drill out, by the way. It was enjoyable. Yeah. So I personally, just to preface it, I don't read too much into one-on-one practice that's mostly viewed through social clips that people see the 10 minutes that the team wants to see. Like, you know, there's only so much you can really take from that. But what I found interesting was Looney talking about how like he's mentoring and trying to make Wiseman better and some of that stuff. It's interesting to see them fully immersed in this developmental, like, you know, Looney could take a negative attitude towards Wiseman and be like, this dude's trying to take my money and all that sort of stuff. But instead he has the complete opposite approach. You know,
are you comparing Kevon Looney to Jimmy Garoppolo? Cause hey,
one
big Jim hasn't played in 2 years.
One of them's a multi-time world champion who has key possessions to win series in the playoffs. The other one of them sells guest jeans.
Just stepped out of bounds today, and they lost by 1 point, and he's that's on a safety. I'm joking, but the mentality, I think, you know, for what Jimmy G is, and he's not a good quarterback, but he has a great mentality, right? And I think that's similar to what Kevon Looney has. Also, I thought I thought the clips were a little unfair to Big Jimmy.
It's always out of context. It's always going to be unfair.
Like, you're not scoring on Kevon Looney, man. That guy's one of the best big man defenders, one of the best defenders in the paint in the entire NBA. We just saw him.
I was dying at the goons, like, breaking down out of context footage. And I'm like, yeah, bro. Dudes, like, all stars don't score on Looney. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen when a 21-year-old doesn't play basketball? Is trying to take him one-on-one. Like, he's gonna miss shots.
Yeah, and Looney's incredibly strong. We saw Looney guard Giannis. We saw Looney guard Jokic. We were watching Looney grab 22 rebounds against Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. Like the man.
I don't think he gets enough credit for Jokic, by the way.
Yes.
Jokic is a good player. I'll put that one.
Jokic is, by the way, fantasy drafts. That's my, I play auction. So I'm throwing all my money on Jokic this year. I think easy.
We both play auction. I hate auction, dude.
Yeah, I love it. What? It's the best. Why?
Okay. I feel like to be good at auction, you have to be good at poker. And I don't have patience.
Okay.
So half my league's gonna listen to this and they're gonna think they can take something from me. But like I perennially am the guy who blows 90% of my budget in the first 10 minutes of the draft.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 if I'm lucky.
You're the guy sitting there and you're like, oh my God, Darius Garland for this. Oh, that's a bargain. I got the bid. That's you. And let me tell you a little secret, because I love this. I love auction, is that, dude, you just pick 3-4 guys that you absolutely have to have, and you just sit there and just get those guys. Don't bid on anyone else. That's the beauty of auction, is you can get whoever you want. It's simple. But like what you see so often is guys just end up drafting 6 players that they don't want because they're like, oh, $16. I need them.
Oh, you mean like last year when I paid 80 for KD for no reason? I was just like, it's a deal. It's a deal. All of a sudden, it's not a deal, and I'm pot committed.
I suck at poker too, so that makes the two of us. What were we talking about?
You are right. Maybe I need to like consider who I need to have, mm-hmm. and just not even get into it with the other ones.
Never. And then another pro tip: don't draft any of the Warriors unless it's Jordan Poole, because those guys aren't going to play enough games. That's another pro tip.
That's true. Okay, back to Looney. Looney definitely going to pay $25 for.
He is the best. Oh, that's right. We were talking about Looney.
He had a 5.5 rebounds and a half a block a game doesn't grow on trees.
And it's 82 games. He'll play all the games. Availability is the most important thing in fantasy basketball, in all fantasy sports. I thought he had an interesting quote. He had a quote that said he knows that Draymond is going to be like, I think Looney believes that he still has a leap that he can take. And I think that's actually the overarching theme of Media Day for me, is that a lot of players on this team have an extra level that they can reach outside of Steph and Draymond and even Clay. I think those guys are maxed out, but every other player on this team, I think, has a leap. And I think with Looney specifically, he talked about how much better he can be defensively and rebounding. But can he be, I don't know, 70%, 75% of who Draymond is defensively, maybe even 80%. Now you've got two guys that, I mean, what if I
flip this on you? Why can't Looney get better?
Why can't he get better?
What if Looney leads the league in rebounds this year? What if he's the new Dennis Rodman?
Well, rebounds for 36. He's not going to play enough. But yes, I tend to agree. I mean, the only thing that wouldn't happen is injury. Like that's the only thing. He played every game last season. Looney did, but you know we know. And another part of the quote he said was, I haven't played that much. He said, I want to play every game because I haven't played that much. And we all think Looney's 36 years old. He's only 26. And really, before last season, he didn't play that many games because he was always hurt. So he's technically doesn't have that many miles in his body. So you're right. I mean, there is a leap that he can take to be an elite defender, an elite rebounder. They have that. I mean, the Warriors might have the best defense in the NBA. I mean, they probably do. I don't even know why I said maybe.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
There's one other thing we need to talk about Media Day, then I have some questions for you. Okay? A one Mr. Giannis Antetokounmpo says Steph Curry is the best player in the NBA.
Yeah, I believe that the best player in the world is Steph Curry until the next player.
First off, how many executives from Nike do you think have emailed him being like, stick to the script?
Relax. LeBron called him and said, yo, slow your roll, buddy. I watched the whole clip. I love Giannis. He's one of my favorite, top five favorite players to watch in the NBA and just listen to off the court. He's not bad. He's not bad. The thing about Giannis is that I feel like he genuinely loves everyone in the NBA. He's called KD the best player in the NBA. He's called LeBron the greatest player of all time. And now he calls Steph the best player in the NBA because he says that, you know, it's the last man standing. That's the best player. And I agree, right? I think Steph's the best player in the NBA. I just think, Sam, generally, you don't get guys like Giannis's mindset that just wants to love everyone in the NBA. I think Steph is similar. And I think it's pretty cool that those are the two best players in the NBA today. I think those are the two best, and it's not
close. Well, the best and the fifth best per ESPN.
We never talked about that. That was a funny one. Which you called it. I called it. Everyone, I mean, we knew that.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I knew Luka and Jokic were going to get ranked ahead of him, and I was okay with it contextually, but Embiid?
Disrespectful.
Embiid is just a big man version of Dame Lillard. He's not good enough to be the best player on it. He's everyone's favorite player, not on their own team, because he's really good, but you don't have to actually contextualize and discuss, like, can he be the man? Because all you think about is how he's a victim of a situation. You know what I'm saying? And I really hate being that guy to make negative comments about Damian Lillard or Joel Embiid, but stop it. Not in the same category. Not like, can't even beat the Miami Heat. Come on, man. Like, it's just a joke, dude.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying with the Dame comment?
I agree. When you talk about getting excuses based off the victim of their own environment, I would say you're really not an Embiid fan. That's a little.
Do you think Embiid can be the best player on a title team?
I think Embiid.
Or do you think he's more of like the Anthony Davis number two?
Well, I think in today's NBA, aren't all big men that Anthony Davis number two? Like, they're all you can't. Like,
Giannis.
But I don't. Well, he's a ball handler. Like, I don't know if Jokic could ever be that win a championship as the main big man of it. Like, I don't know, because he's a big man that can't move. Like,
defensively, you're just like, how am I going to make this work?
He's always going to get shredded. He's just always going to. And I don't know how he fixes that, because that's who he is. He's a big 7-foot Serbian dude. Like, he's never going to be able to defend a guard in space. And that's what the NBA is.
I feel like he's maximized who he is.
Right, which is an amazing player. But to your point, I mean, Jokic is objectively a better player than Embiid. So I also, Embiid can't stay healthy in the postseason. When has he ever been healthy? And at some point, you can't say that that's fluky. That's just who he is.
Shirley Temples.
I don't know what it is. He just somehow gets hurt every single time. So yeah, that list was pretty funny. I wouldn't even put Luka in front of Steph, right? Like, that one doesn't really make sense.
I wouldn't put Luka or Jokic in front of Steph personally, but I understand the logic of they play like 80 games, 40 minutes a game, and they just kind of eat the ball up. And like, in the regular season, they might generate more wins. Maybe.
It's like, we just watched the fucking postseason. You know, we just watched the Warriors win a championship. that doesn't seem to matter. All right, what else we got? No, we got some other shit.
So let's dive into what I'm curious about here is, after media day, who are you most excited to watch on the Warriors? Outside of the Steph Draymond class, like, we are 5 days away from the first Warriors game in Japan. Where are you at excitement level? Who do you want to see?
Oh, you already know the answer. Everyone already knows the answer. There's only one answer that I'm going to give you, because I've been saying this dude's name since I watched him play two times, and I realized, oh shit, he's actually his brain is actually on an NBA level already. It's Moses Moody, and you can hear the way that people are talking about him. Dante DiVincenzo came out and said, like, oh, the dude's got a high IQ, he's got some length. You hear Wiggins talk about him. You hear these guys just talk about Moses Moody, and I think that everybody knows, it's obvious, the dude needs to play 20 minutes a game. He's a quintessential 3-and-D wing player. He's shown that he's
more than that, maybe.
Maybe. And I think we might find out this year that he might be more than that, right? I think the most important part right now is, though, that he can actually play those minutes, because you can't convince me right now that James Wiseman should be playing 20 minutes a game. I'd argue no. You can convince me Jonathan Kuminga should play 20 minutes a game, but I'd rather have Moses Moody because I know he's not going to make mistakes. And I think on the team like the Warriors, where you've already got guys like Poole, Wiggins, Steph, Draymond, like, if I want to win a game, like, Moses Moody is winning me a game. Like, he's not going to lose me a game by making defensive mistakes. I can see the upside of
Andy Kuminga, Wiseman. Andy Lou's just the Farhan of basketball here. He wants Alex Wood out here throwing 89, making no mistakes.
Yeah. By the way, Alex Wood, third time through a lineup, a lot of mistakes. But you're right, right? In terms of just a guy that's going to high floor, right? We've always talked about the high floor stuff. And I don't know what the ceiling is. I don't even want to say if it's low, medium, or high ceiling. I don't know what the ceiling is. But all I know is the dude should be playing 20 minutes a game next season. That's all I know. And he should be getting all the minutes that GP2 played from last year, all the minutes that Damian Lee played. I'm the most excited to see him.
I'm most excited to see Kuminga and Wiseman. Not because I disagree with the word you said, just to be clear. I think if one of them hits, it unlocks another level of the Warriors, because it's just that athletic front court player to finish everything. I'm not saying it'll happen. Personally, I think it's more likely to be Kuminga than Wiseman. And that could be wrong. And, you know, if I'm wrong, I'll eat it and I'm happy. But it's like, I want to see one of those players break through, because I think this is an incredibly high IQ team. I think Moody and Dante DiVincenzo only add IQ to it. They got shooting. They got layers all along the perimeter. I just want to see one of those young, athletic, freaky bigs figure out a role so it can be like, that's, you know, I want to see one of them become that guy who, you know, Steph, pass to Clay, pass to Dante, dunk. Like that type of guy, you know, and it's boring, but I really want to see it.
Yeah, I think Kuminga's going to be that. He's going to throughout the season, I can see him developing into a star. I think that's a guy where the athleticism, second year in his system. And then also, we haven't talked about this, Andre's back and going to be up his ass. Right. Per his IG.
That's how you know, like, the commitment level, by the way.
That was great.
Kuminga throws up the generic, like, happy to have you back. And he just gets regrammed with foot ass.
It made me smile so much because what's Kuminga, 20? Is 20, 21 years old? Something like
you
that.
You will be 20 in a week.
2020?
2 weeks. Yeah. He's,
wow. Amazing. And so Andre's going to be what, 36, right? 36, 37, whatever he is.
39.
39. Like, yeah, that's not.
I love how you make the older players younger and the younger players older.
Try to close the gap. that's not brother, like older brother, little brother. That's like he's his dad almost. Right?
Yeah.
Like age wise, I'm talking about age wise. That's what it feels like. I think that's really cool. I think that's something that I feel like is super important for the Warriors, is that they got Andre, because Steph and Draymond and like they have their own shit. They have to play. Clay has to play, and he's not going to do any of that stuff. Draymond is probably too aggressive, and Steph is kind of, you know, we remember when Steph was yelling at Kelly Oubre, you know, 2 years ago. Remember those dark days, right? Like that. It's a hard job to lead and develop young kids while also having to play basketball out there. So Andre back is going to be good for a lot of these guys.
I agree. We're going to be back midweek. Appreciate all of you. Make sure to follow on social. We got some big announcements this week.